Hey there, welcome to this edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast, here with Pastor Gary Zamora of the Prophetic Fulfillment Church. And I'm Steve Blinn, and I'm so thankful that I could be here with you today, Pastor, and talk about the kingdom of God.
Oh, always great. My favorite subject, yes. Always, whether I'm sitting in front of a mic or, just thinking, it's the world to me. And it's the world in God. So, I often think how many different perspectives can you have about the kingdom of God, and they all connect in some incredible way. And yeah. It seems like at every connecting point, every joint, you see something different that makes you just say, wow, God's so God. Yep, I used to say, God's so good, God's so great, and one day it just came out of me, and I just said, God is so, he's good. God is so great. Yeah, he's great, but God is just, he's so God.
He's endless. So God.
He's so God. So how are you today?
What else can you say? I'm doing fantastic. Awesome. I'm excited to be here. I loved, like you say, getting together and talk about just different perspectives on the kingdom and to think about things in different ways. And, I think that's like a form of prayer. A lot of, Paul talks about pray continuously. Oh. And even on this, the sermon this Sunday, I thought it was really cool that you were talking about that you felt like the Lord called us to, during the service, to pray prophetically. And then as you were speaking and you were sharing a bunch of things, and then you kind of paused and you said, we're praying right now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool.
Well, yeah, you think about prayer. We think about more of the, the gestures of prayer, mm-hmm. hands or on our knees, and those are all great things. We all do that. But prayer is really communication with the Father. Prayer is, and prophecy, the way I have seen it, is being in agreement with God. He said, if you pray according to my will, then what you ask for is going to come to pass. And so you think about praying according to the will of God. So you can take two trains of thought here. Man, now I have to make sure I'm praying according to the will of God. That's one line, because if I don't, it's not going to come to pass. So maybe God isn't really going to do it. But if you think about who God is, and that's why what I'm saying when I say the kingdom of God is just my favorite subject, because it encompasses the mind of God. Kingdom of God is the mind of God. But would you want to pray outside of the will of God when his way is perfect? And what you're really, what any of us, what I'm looking for, I know, is within the will of God. If there's anything I try to ditch or get rid of, is not praying according to the will of God. So instead of thinking, man, now I've got to make sure I'm praying according to the will of God, because people, you can tend to look at it as another I have to do, got to check this box and make sure I'm doing this right. It's not like that at all. Praying according to the will of God is praying in the way that's going to affect you and I, anyone, in the most positive way possible. So the outcome is even greater than we could anticipate. It's like that scripture that says that he wills to do exceedingly more, abundantly more, above, beyond all we know to ask or think. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what the people want if you really think about it. So when you're thinking praying according to the will of the Father, what a great thing. God, I only want to pray according to the will of the Father. And then the great part about that is he said, when you do that, it's going to come to pass. So
wow. Yeah, because who wouldn't, when you think about it, if you're someone who said, God, I want to follow you. Jesus, I want your life. And then there's certainly all these things we want, but when you're confronted by that idea of, okay, this is God's will, do you want your will or do you want God's will? And, a lot of times we still want our will, but when you really start and think about it, it's like, well, long ago, or maybe short time ago, or maybe someone hasn't yet, but I know in my own life, long ago, I said, I want this life. And to go, I want this life, but I'm going to pray out of my own sense of desire wants, there's still like, there's just that disconnect there that yeah. means it's not just about getting or achieving what you're praying for, but it's really, are you fully surrendered to who he is? Yeah. You know, because then if you're still holding on to part of it, then that part of you hasn't completely died to yourself yet.
Yeah. And it's that seed, you know, seeds are ancient. Mm. You know, in certain respects, I could say someone that is younger than I am is really older than I am. And this is what I mean. I'm a younger seed. I mean, Adam was the ultimate new young seed. And each generation after him, although they were born after him and would be considered younger, they're really an older seed. Because if you have a seed that's 1,000 years old, and then the seeds beyond that, you know, 1,000 years later, that seed is actually
older.
It's older. Yeah. So, you know, it was just kind of one of those little things that I went, hey, I'm older than everyone that's younger than I am, at least in the spirit. But, you know, when you talk about seed, it's and dying to yourself, we can look at it in such a almost a contradiction of what that really, really means. Like, I have to die to myself, man. And it's just kind of like so painful. I don't get to do what I want to do. But God's way is better, you know, so let's go ahead and do that, even though I don't think it's going to make me as happy as my right. way. But it's, again, a contradiction
You're
of what
reading
we,
my mail right now.
it's again, a contradiction of what we say.
Absolutely.
We believe he is God. As the scriptures say, this God, my God, his way is perfect. Okay, that's the God we believe in. I just said to my daughter, which I'm thrilled to have with me today in the studio. She's normally not with me in the studio. She's busy doing a lot of other things, I'm so thankful for our daughters because they're involved in ministry with us. But we were talking. I said, you know, and there, I know there's a song, something like this. But I said, if there wasn't a reward for living the way we mm-hmm. live and believing, I wouldn't want to change. This is the way I would want to live. Yeah. And there is a reward, of course. There's many rewards and many blessings and everything, but it's I just find such a fulfillment in saying, God, not my will, your will be done, because I believe what I'm saying. I believe your way is perfect. So instead of, God, do this, I hope God will do it this way, you know, the best way to really pray is like Jesus did, and hey, not actually help me get rid of my will yeah. so I don't mess things up.
Yeah.
Help me surrender to your will. So the outcome is even better than I could imagine. He wills to do exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond all we know to ask or think. So God, help me do it your way so it turns out that way. Because I may be 100 miles off and looking in totally the opposing direction
yeah.
and not aware. Because that's why the word says, trust the Lord. He has this... It's mapped out in such a beautiful way. When Jesus said it's finished, he mapped and completed everything in such a beautiful way that what he's really saying is, now be integrated by my word and will to everything I've already said in order
yeah.
to bless you. And everything will, if you'll stop resisting and fighting it, because it's really our wrestling against the will of God, not intentionally. You know, it's just by means of, you know, this feels right, this looks right, this sounds right. And a lot of times it is, but a lot of times it isn't. And if our prayer, if we have the inclination, if we're inclined, more, you know, predisposed to saying, God, I really, today my prayer is that I don't have a will. I want to make an exchange. I want your will, because yours is just a whole lot better. And you're going to make me happy in ways that in me trying to do it, I'm going to probably mess up today. Ended up making myself sad, and I'm going to have to pray and ask you to help me be happy again. You know, so help me do things your way. And you know, in a slight sense of humor, it really is true, because that's why the word says, "Lay down your life, follow me, be a seed, die to your will." And in doing that, the promise, every promise God's given us, it flourishes in us. And that's really it's trusting the word of God and trusting the Lord, and not being so set or inclined to saying, God, I think I've got it now. You know, I think I know what needs to happen here. But create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, renew a right spirit in me.
Absolutely. Well, as you were saying that, it made me think of, and this was not the subject that we were going to be talking about right now, but I like where we're going with this.
Yeah, you told me we were supposed to do something. How many, this happens all the time.
This happens quite a bit, but this is cool because as you were talking, and this idea that when we're praying for our will or we're praying the things that we want and that we think that then what God's going to do is he's going to then kind of shape the mechanisms of the apparatus of things to bring those things to pass in our life, when the reality is he's already given us all things. So he's kind of created this track, let's say, and we want him to still create it. And he's like, no, I've created, but in surrendering your will, I can set you on the on-ramp or whatever. You know, yeah. did you ever, when you were a kid, have the racetrack? Do you have the little electric cars and they go racing around?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
it's like, he's like, I just want you to surrender your will and I can set you on that track. And it's going to take you all the places you want to go because I've already created it for you, but you keep wanting me to go create it. That's not what we need anymore. I've already done all that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A couple of things. Number one, you set my mind on a different track, in a sense. You remember those little slot cars, they called them, and the little handle, the little control, and it would make you go. How many times what was the thing we wanted? We wanted to just
to go so fast, it would
go so fast. And if the point was to get from here to here, we went about it all wrong.
Yeah.
Because we ended up shooting the car off the track, having to pick the car up, sometimes break the little car and go and have to repair it, you know, fix the little thing so it fit in the slot. If we'll trust in the Lord and allow it to go at his pace, because all along that road, all along that journey in life, there's so many things you encounter, so many things that happen that we never even really get to enjoy. I mean, God spoke to me just so gently a few days ago, and I listen. I'm always a happy guy. I consider myself to constantly be feeling great and happy. But I heard the Lord say, "You could be happier than you even know."
Mm.
And what I heard Him say in that short sentence was, "Know how laid out, perfectly laid out, your life is." If you trust me and just stay in the spirit of thanksgiving and rejoicing and prayer is what we were talking about, how we live our lives. And I felt happier just hearing that, thinking, hey, you know, I could be happier, because when I heard that, I actually felt happier. And what was that? You know, what was I feeling that I thought I felt happier? I was really understanding what that sense of joy and peace is. It's really saying, God, you have it laid out. Stop just hammering that control and wanting God to just take it so fast. Enjoy every aspect. You know, the journey is going to validate the arrival. So let it play out and trust God in all things, in all things. I mean, today we're living in tense times, as we know, and, you know, around the world in Israel, and we pray for Israel. I pray God save Israel, literally God save Israel. And God help his people around the world and give us insight, give us wisdom, give us understanding. But my idea, my mind always tends to go to the direction of, God, what here can we do to affect the world and to affect where we are? You know, what can we do? And fear grips people when things go awry, when there's wars, that Jesus said there are going to be wars and there's going to be rumors of wars. And what did he tell us to do? And I always want to do what Jesus said. He said, don't be afraid. He said, look up, your redemption draws nigh. So what I'm hearing God say is, Gary, the best way you can be effective is to hear my voice and say what I want to say. Speak my word, because his word is power, and I'll bring something to pass, and I'll use you. One man, one David, you know, one Jacob, you know, one man, one Daniel, one Elijah, one Elisha, one man, one Mary, one woman that will hear the voice of God and say, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. And God will make us effective where he has us to be. And it's kind of like a chain reaction. It just happens. It just gravitates towards every part of the world through some measure that God has already predetermined your life is going to impact someone. When you're walking in confidence and obedience to God, your life is going to impact someone you may never even meet down the road, just because of maybe one person you say something to that says something to another person, someone hears. And honestly, just the impact of the spoken word of prophecy. I mean, I live my life seeing God affect change by prophecy. There's times I'll call someone, I'll connect with someone, I'll email someone or text someone and just release a word, knowing when I say this word, it's going to come to pass, okay? And two things, I've thought on both ends. I've thought, now, am I affecting change because I'm prophetically speaking by the word of the Lord? We were talking about praying.
Yeah.
So is it happening because I'm speaking the word? Or am I speaking the word that I know is going to come to pass? Which is it?
Right.
You know, I mean,
I was thinking about that literally this morning.
Really?
I really was.
There seems to be that track between you and I from time to time. You have a dream and I prophesy. We were talking about that in church. But there's a unity of spirit when we begin to think in inclined to the will or in connection to the will of the Father. Mm-hmm. The scriptures tell us this. It says, and you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man and woman. He put them on the earth, and he said, take dominion and subdue. And God blessed them and gave them everything. And because they doubted what God had given them was enough, maybe we can do something to just expedite, you know, mash that control a little harder and make the car go a little faster. We end up throwing it off the track. Maybe there's knowledge we can get here and here. Maybe God meant something different. Always trying to work it out instead of just trusting. God said, I have the confidence to know that I hear him and I'm going to follow his lead. So when God created the world, the word says that Christ was prepared before the foundation of the world to do what? To redeem us from sin. Yeah, but let's say before sin, to do what? To lead us in direction, in connection, in unity with everything he had already aligned, because his thoughts towards us, the word says, are so good and so many that they couldn't be counted. And we try to fight so often and struggle and try to make it work and believe hard enough and pray hard enough, where if we would rest, I'm not talking about being laxed or lax in our approach or lazy or complacent in any stretch of the imagination, but we really just trust and rest in the spoken word of God, we become more active in the right direction. You know, we're running faster in the right direction because Christ already aligned it. And when Christ came, laid down his life, he laid out such a perfect alignment with our destiny that if we simply trust, and that's prayer, God, I trust in you. This is a day, I say it all the time, this is the day God has made. I'm going to rejoice, be glad in it. Something great is going to happen today. I say it probably every day, or at least almost every day. Something great is going to happen. So is it going to happen because I said it? Or is it already set, and because I believe it, I'm going to walk in those steps? And honestly, I believe both are true.
Yeah.
I mean, you release a word, and there's power in that word, because the word of God created all things. And when we're in line with the spoken word of God, God speaks to our heart and says, say it. And you say it, it comes to pass. The centurion soldier, I'm going to say this, and it'll come to pass. Jesus, you say it, and it's going to come to pass. And at the same time, being in league, in connection, in an orchestration of unity with the will of God, that he's already made it so. Everything in the world is laid out. That's why Romans 8:28 says, all things will work together for your good because you love him when you set your affections on him. Again, another form of prayer. Set my affections on him. I'm thinking, I'm listening. God, I'm going to think the way you think. I'm going to hear the way you hear. I'm going to speak the way you speak. Like Jesus said, the things I see the Father do, I do. Things I hear him say, I say. So does it, when we pray or when we prophetically speak, does it happen because we say it and then everything just kind of, it's like God stirs that pot of events and pours it out and into that mold and it takes place? Or is it because we begin to think in alignment, in connection down that road, we begin to look in the direction that those things are going to happen in line with? Is that what it is? And it's both.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's both. God many oftentimes has put in my heart, it happened yesterday. It'll happen today because I released the word. And I know that it will. And there is a great confidence. I know that it will happen. And is it because I said it? Yeah, it's because I said it. But I said it because I know I heard God say it.
Yeah.
Prayer. I'm praying. Even if I'm not saying it with my mouth, maybe I'm not on my knees, maybe I have my hands raised at that point, but the word says what God looks at, the place that real prayer comes from, is the heart. Prayer is a condition of my heart being in alignment with God. How? I just know it's going to work out incredibly well. Not just I'm going to make it through, or you know, the devil's not going to affect me, or no evil's going to mess me up today, no matter how hard it tries, but just everything in my life, everything that comes into my life, in some way, some shape, some form, some facet, God's going to work it out. And I'm going to release that by simply saying, today, something really great is going to happen. It's both. When we speak the word, God does stir that pot. I believe he does pour it in that mold and say, you're headed in that direction. So I'm going to go ahead and fill that cup for you because you're going to be there and you're going to be able to drink from it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, because we're thinking in the direction God wants us to, we're on the right road, and we're going to run into it anyway. So I love the scripture that says, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? Where can I flee from his spirit? Yeah, if I take the wings of the morning, fly to the uttermost part of the world, there God is.
Mm-hmm.
If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Where could I go from the presence of the Lord? And it really is a mind that is set on the kingdom of God. And what is that? I have the mind of Christ. I can think like God thinks, not because of anything I've done, but because of what he's done and who I believe him to be. Christ already set it up perfectly. It is perfect. It is finished. It's complete.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we can look at it like it's almost like it's too good to be true from that standpoint, because, you know, the idea of even like you said, like earlier you had mentioned that, you know, even if there wasn't some sense of reward, you know, I would still want to live this life. And even if I, even in this sense that God will do something good for us, is almost like this weird, like we don't deserve it type thing when it was his idea in the first place. And that the ability to then walk through your day going, okay, something good's going to happen to me. And that declaration of which came, where's the chicken and the egg in that?
Yeah.
But it being that connectedness, because I started thinking the other day, I was thinking about this and about that idea that, okay, only good's going to happen to me. And walking around, and if you walk around in the mantle, it's almost like the original Star Wars movie, and Obi-Wan Kenobi using the Force, going up to the stormtroopers and, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. And them going, these aren't the droids you're looking for. And I started thinking, you know what, in a lot of ways, as silly as that is, God's called us to walk in a life like that because it's only good. And so I walk into a situation, whether it's powerful people or influential people or someone at the local store or a doctor or tax collector, whatever it is in life, and with that sense that God is in control and that the answer, again, may not always be the answer that we want, but that answer, that confidence that answer is always going to be the answer from the Lord and that nothing else is going to supersede God's control. And so to be able to have that confidence as you go through that day of, you know what? These aren't the droids you're looking for. And knowing that no matter what, God's will is going to be exhibited through me in the steps I take, in the ways that I follow after him.
Yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Well, does our word have power? If we say something, is it somehow, you know, miraculously
like a spell
going to come to pass? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Yes and amen, it does. God did it. The word said he created all things without anything. He created everything. Because his word is power. Okay, and then the scriptures say the word is close to you, it's nigh you, even in your mouth. And that is the word of salvation. And what is salvation? I mean, Christ forgave me, and he saved me, so I don't have to be ever separated from God, and so I can live in his will and purpose. And what is that? Is it just that we're free from sin? Well, it certainly is that. But is there more? Yeah, Jesus was prepared before the foundation of the world, not just to forgive us. Thank God he did, because that's the beginning to be born again. That's why we have a will, is so we can surrender it Your will is your worship. If you surrender it, it's the most valuable asset we have if you use it correctly, which is you use it as an exchange. Not my will. Here's my sacrifice.
Yeah.
Your will be done. My will isn't worth anything except that I will. It becomes worth a lot when I will that your will be done. You can't love without a will. You can't be born again without a will because you have to believe.
Make the choice.
Yeah. You have to make a choice to believe he is God and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So in some of the things we fight against, if we just do that one simple thing and just believe God, I believe it's going to work out, and I believe you really do know more about what I need than I do. And if I have the mind, what things soever are lovely, whatsoever things are good, if there be any virtue, if there be any honor, if there be any praise, think on these things. If the body of Christ would begin to think that way, would our words affect change? Undeniably and absolutely. The woman, we call her the woman with the issue of blood. The word says she said in her heart. So what effect did that change? Her word.
Yeah.
She didn't even say it. Word didn't say she spoke it. She shouted it out in a crowd. She said in her heart, if I can make it to the point of touching the hem of his garment, that was her point of contact.
Yeah.
That was what her faith decreed. Okay, this whole world that's taking place is all because of the word in her. Okay, that power in Christ is there. But how do you connect to that power? You know, and that's the ultimate question. How do I connect? And you said something. The consciousness of sin is so detrimental to our advancement in having the power of the Word of God in our mouth. It's not just what we believe. When we believe in obedience, when we believe in alignment with His Word, that's the Word of God. The Word of God. It's no more just Gary's Word or Steve's Word. It's the Word of God. And what does the Word of God do? It creates. So the woman says in her heart, and that set everything on its course. She said in her heart. So by the word in her heart, what was that? By her will, she committed her faith that if she touched the hem of his garment, she'd be healed. Now, I'm sure she didn't plan it all out or even know what all of that meant, but God, through Christ, has so ordained our lives. The word says we have been purposed, we have been predestined according to his will and his purpose. And it's not hard. I say it all the time. Obedience to God is not us trying to obey, it's believing we are the creation of his will and that we can walk in it because of Christ when we believe and surrender our will to him. But she said in her heart, she said prayer again. Prayer. If we ask, we believe those things that we say will come to pass, we'll have what we say. She went up, the word says, she touched the hem of his garment. Now, wrestling with all the emotions in her mind, she knew, I mean, what if I'm asked for payment, you know, right. Because they were very inclined to be paid for services back in the day, as most people are today. But what if I'm asked? I don't have any more money. I've spent all I have on physicians. I'm dying. I mean, you know, what her physical appearance was, it doesn't say, but she's very sick. She's dying. She's broke. She spent all that she has. She probably didn't have the most appropriate attire in the world, probably wasn't the best dressed in the crowd. And we think about this, all those thoughts of condemnation. What if this and what if that? And you know, I mean, why would God do it for me? And why, you know, all those things that are warring against us, that's the warfare. People are chasing the devil when it's really your consciousness that Christ came to purge that wrestles against you.
Yeah.
And once you're consciousness is purged and you put it all on him, because of him, of him, through him, to him. It's all about who he is. That's prayer again. We're doing it again. We're mindful of him. Our mind is set on the kingdom of God and we're not even trying. And what we're really doing is casting off every weight and sin. It doesn't mean like, oh, I cast off this sin and I've cast off that sin and have to readjust my mic. you know, it's like this warfare that we go through and we knock literally things out of position. If we just say, God, something great is going to happen today. And stop thinking how. God, see, the word of the Lord is going to create. She created a scenario, a world. So when she touched the hem of his garment, being unclean, which in her state it was illegal for her to go and touch a rabbi, a man of God, didn't do it. But her word in her heart, and what was it? She believed in him. She was worshiping the Lord and may not have even have known it. Mm. She was worshiping who he is and what he could do. It was all about him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. All she had to do was be aware of who he was, who he is, and what he could do. And she was driven, and her word created that world, and she was healed miraculously. Drew, I say, you've heard me say a lot of times, let's make heaven restless. She made heaven restless that day.
Absolutely. If you think of anything, out of a lot of Jesus' miracles, that's probably one of the most that if you're sitting from heaven going, okay, what's going to happen now?
Yeah.
You know, that's the least obvious outcome in that.
Yeah. And people are always thinking, well, I'm on, you know, I should have done this different. I should have done that sooner. I messed up. You know, people become depressed. Listen, your life is in Christ. You don't have one outside of him. If you just believe that, before we were created, before the foundation of the world, God said, I have a plan. We are the thoughts of God.
Yeah.
And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. You're birthed out of my thoughts. I love you. I care for you. If you stop condemning yourself, and that's what Jesus did when the word says he spoiled principalities and powers and made a display of them openly, triumphed over them in all that he did. What does that mean? The summation, just the Reader's Digest version is simply, stop thinking about how bad you are, Steve, Gary. Stop thinking about what you did wrong. I came to purge your consciousness and say, your greatness is not about how great you are or how bad you are. It's about who I am and how much I love you. And I spoiled those principalities when I said, you don't have to look at how much you have to do or how long a journey you have to make or how much you have to fast. Just look at me. That the principality is your own mind, your own condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Stop working so hard and just start believing really well, and your world will change. The world spoke the words. The woman spoke the word in her heart. So can the word, can our prayers affect change? Can we affect change in Israel by our prayers? I absolutely and emphatically and undeniably believe yes and amen. If a woman can say in her heart, I'm going to touch his garment, and she draws virtue, which is the word power, from Christ. The heaven flowed through Christ. The kingdom of God flowed through him, some miraculous way through his garment, as it were, and into her body and healed her without Jesus saying a word to her, because he is the presence of his word. And his word is his presence. And if we will hold that true and be absolutely convinced and convicted in our heart, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still. We're praying again. There we go again. And we don't even have to stand there and say it all the time. I love to say it, but can we release a word that will make things happen? Absolutely. I live by it. I've done it for most of my life. Because God showed me, if you'll stop cursing and start blessing, even when it looks like things need to be cursed because they're just wrong, how are you going to bring a change by cursing the darkness? You know, flip the light switch, turn it on, light a fire, light a candle, you know, light a torch. And that's what makes things change. Prayer isn't just constantly talking. Prayer is living a life that is in confidence that the Lord's directed my steps. God's ordered your steps in the way that you're supposed to go before you did anything right or wrong, because you are his design. You're his creation. You're his purpose. That's what he meant when he created us. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. How? Through my word. Trust in me. Believe in me. And our words are so filled with power, you can say a thing and bring it to pass. You can say a thing, and it'll set your mind in alignment with the path you're supposed to be on. You can't lose if you trust in the word of the Lord and believe his word is nigh you, even in your mouth. Prayer is so powerful.
Hey, man, what a word. What a powerful thing. In a season right now of uncertainty globally for people's lives every day. I mean, I don't know that many of us go through much of life without some type of uncertainty, and that's kind of the way God designed it, but with the idea that we can be certain in Him.
Yeah.
And that idea that we can rest in the fact that because He came to cleanse our consciousness, yeah, and we can walk out His will. If we trade our will, then we become His will. So then if we are His will, then what we speak, what we do, what we act is the furtherance of His kingdom.
Yeah, and you have to believe. You said something really powerful that I know a lot of people deal with. You know, you said, you know, and you'll think, am I really worthy of this? And that's the consciousness that Jesus is talking about. That's, yeah, the principality, casting down every thought and every imagination. Whose thought? Mine, yours, yeah, ours, our thoughts, our imagination. People look at that as though He came and just destroyed all the demon spirits and powers. Well, he really did. You know, people will say things like, well, you know, God's done everything He's going to do about the devil. But what they're literally saying is, now I have to do the
now
rest.
I have to deal with it, yeah.
And that's not it. No, He's done all that needed to be done in order for you to walk in victory.
Total freedom.
Yeah, so stop talking about that warfare. That warfare is up here. What you're inclined to, the woman says in her state, I mean, how righteous, how unrighteous was she? It doesn't say. But she became the righteousness of God when she acknowledged Christ as her Savior. She worshiped Him, and Jesus spoke life to her, and He healed her. That same power exists today, but Paul warned us not to be double-minded. And if we say we're His and He abides in us, and then we turn around and say, well, maybe I'm not this and I'm not that and I didn't do... That's that consciousness that the Word is talking about, that Christ made an open display of and put it down forever, triumphed over it. Let your consciousness emulate the mind of God. We're clean enough.
Yeah.
We're righteous enough through Him. We are not our own. We belong to Him. And go ahead and let your mouth, I say this all the time, let your ear hear your mouth say whatever God is telling you to say. I'm blessed. This is the greatest season of my life. Something really good is going to happen to me today, even if it looks like utter chaos is in your life. And let the virtuous word of God, the word of virtue and power, let it come out of you like it did the woman with the issue of blood. Be healed, be set free, and have the greatest day of your life. It's how God planned it.
Amen. Well, I think that there's no way to top that. That's the perfect way, I think, to sum up this conversation. So thanks for being with us today. Tune in again. Tune in on Sunday and tune back into our next edition of Pulling on Heaven as we continue to explore just the amazingness of God, His love for us, what He's empowered us to do, and how we can make a real difference in the world.
Thanks for joining me, Steve.
Thank you.
Next time.